Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We have a very busy show today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will head to Columbia, Missouri, Lawrence, Kansas, and Manhattan, Kansas. We will touch on all three of the local colleges. We'll catch up with their bowl game, how they're feeling about it. A little college basketball here, a little transfer portal. Sort of a checkup on the three colleges. This week allows us to maybe do some things that we normally wouldn't do because the Chiefs are playing one of the worst teams in the National Football League. We will not spend a lot of time today breaking down the game against the Denver Broncos because the Broncos stink. That is not a team that you should lose to. I'm not interested in telling the same Chiefs and Broncos stories that we told for our entire life. At one point, I was interested in doing that, but this Broncos team has taken away all joy away from me. Watching this team this season, they're the least fun team to watch in the league. I enjoy making fun of Russell Wilson more than I enjoy discussing Russell Wilson. At some point, we'll talk Chiefs and Broncos. I'm just not really sure if that day is going to be today. Coming up in about an hour or so, we'll be joined in studio by Pete Sweeney. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll also talk a little college football as we get ready for the Heisman presentation. Let's start with the injury update and news for the Kansas City Chiefs. Some encouraging news for the home team.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to let him get out there and work a little bit. You know, we'll just see how he does. We're not, I'm not going to bring him back and have him hurt it again. That's not what we're looking at. So just see what he can do.
That is Andy Reid talking about Kadarius Toney, who has missed the last few games with a hamstring injury. This is the same hamstring that he was dealing with the New York Giants. Hopefully a speedy recovery to him. But Rob, the Kansas City Chiefs, every person on their 53-man roster practiced today. Now, you might be asking, what does that mean for Mecole Hardman, where he is still technically on the injured reserve list, so he is not part of currently the 53-man roster. But everybody who is eligible to practice today will practice today for the Kansas City Chiefs. I will be very curious to see how the Chiefs handle their injuries this week and over the next 4 to 5 weeks or so. If I had to guess, Kadarius Toney practices this week but doesn't play and then comes back next week in the game against the Houston Texans. But who knows? We'll see where he is from a health standpoint. We'll see where he is from a physical standpoint. But typically the Chiefs' MO is 2 weeks of practice before you get back on the field. There's certainly no reason to rush anybody on this team. You certainly want to clinch the one seed. You should clinch the one seed. I don't think you need Kadarius Toney against the Denver Broncos to do that. So right now it's about being safe, about being smart, about getting guys back in a timely manner, giving them the reps that they need to get ready for the postseason, but also being smart and keeping as many of your guys healthy down the stretch as possible. Speaking of healthy, one person who is not healthy, Von Miller. We got news earlier today that Von Miller is out for the rest of the season. So you remember Von Miller had a knee injury a couple of weeks ago. There was a belief that Von Miller was going to miss some time, but was going to be able to come back by the postseason. to my understanding, they did a scope on his knee. They realized that the damage was far more extensive than they once believed. Today, Von Miller has surgery on his ACL. He is out for the rest of the year. I'm really struggling with this for this reason. I believe that Buffalo is Kansas City's equal in a lot of ways. Great coaching, great quarterback, great weapons, capable defenses. Buffalo is a very, very talented team. They went out and got Von Miller for one purpose and one purpose only, to shut down and stop Patrick Mahomes. And the first time that these two teams played each other with Von Miller, I thought Von Miller was the difference. I thought both teams' playmakers came out and played well, but the difference in this game was Von Miller's presence. The Chiefs had the ball late, chance to win the game, chance to go down the field. Von Miller makes a couple of plays, forces a turnover, and that was the difference in the game. We know that you have to be able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, and you have to have the ability to be able to disrupt timing. Is Buffalo going to have that now without Von Miller and without the guy that they paid to get them over the hump of Kansas City? I don't know. Vegas still seems to be in Buffalo's favor. Didn't really see a whole lot of movement on the line that would make you think that Vegas is overly worried about the injury to Von Miller. But in a football sense, in an emotional leadership sense, in a can you help get us over the hump, not having Von Miller is a tremendous blow to this team. We'll see what kind of effect it has down the stretch. Buffalo could still very easily be the one seed, but Buffalo's got some very difficult games down the stretch as well. Like, Buffalo has some important games down the stretch that they need to win if they want to be a team that has home field advantage this year. Kansas City's schedule down the stretch is relatively comfortable. I don't want to use the term easy. It's the National Football League. I'll use the term comfortable. You've got the Jets. You've got Miami, two teams right now that are in line to make the playoffs. You got on the road against Chicago. Now, Chicago is not one of the better teams, but they've got a quarterback that can be salty, that can do some things. Chicago is not your typical bad football team. You got on the road against Cincinnati. We don't got to talk about the possibility of the Bills losing that game. And then you've got your final game of the regular season at home against the New England Patriots. New England, you don't know what version of them you're going to get. It really comes down to, are they going to get good quarterback play? So Kansas City certainly has the advantage the final 5 weeks of the season. But Buffalo is also one of the better teams in the league, and it wouldn't be far-fetched to see Buffalo run the table and win the one seed in the AFC and steal it away from Kansas City. As I would say right now, Kansas City should be considered to be the favorite to be the one seed in the AFC, given the comfort of their schedule when you put it up against the light against Buffalo in a much different context. Coming up in a bit, we'll do a college football and basketball whip around and touch on the top stories with the three local colleges. But I wanted to talk about this just a little bit. And Rob, I know that you are a bigger baseball guy than I am. You're not a huge baseball guy, but you enjoy baseball a little bit more than I do. How is baseball signed up for a system that all of their free agents don't make sense for every team that they have? Say what you want about the NBA, and there are certainly flaws with the NBA system, but every team in the NBA has the ability to sign every player. Now, you can choose to not want to play for that team. Like, I don't think Kevin Durant has much of an interest in going to play for the Sacramento Kings. I don't think when LeBron's a free agent, he's signing in Utah, for example. But Utah has the ability to sign LeBron James. Cleveland has the ability to sign Kevin Durant in free agency or Steph Curry in free agency. All teams are created equal in that sense. Rob, we certainly know all teams are created equally in the NFL. There is a salary floor and a salary cap. It's a hard cap, too. The NBA is a soft cap. If you want to pay over the luxury tax, have at it. Right now, the defending NBA champion, Golden State Warriors, they spend more than what the salary cap says. But there's a penalty to it, and that money gets dispersed around the other clubs. But there are rules in place to protect where if Giannis is a free agent, it is advantageous for him to stay in Milwaukee than chase the Los Angeles Lakers or the New York Knicks. And we've seen that play itself out. How is baseball signed up for a system that when Aaron Judge is a free agent, there's only four or five possibilities of where he can go? How is this a system that works for everybody else? Aren't there more of these small market teams than large market teams? Like, they can't get the Kansas Cities, the Pittsburghs, the Tampa Bays to get all on the same page to combat this, where if Aaron Judge is available, every team has an equal opportunity to sign him, and then it comes down to his preference and where he wants to play. How is baseball signed up for a system that allows this to continue to happen? Maybe I am just screaming into the wind. I'm old man yelling at the cloud. But you know what would make baseball free agency so much more interesting? If every team had an equal shot in signing free agents. And we all know that it's not the case in Major League Baseball. That's what makes the NFL fun. Christian Kirk can go to the Arizona Cardinals. Von Miller can go to Buffalo. Everybody can go everywhere. Every place is viable. It's just, do you got the cap space? Can you move some stuff around, etc.? Bryce Harper is available. If you're in Kansas City, your team, no chance to sign that player. Aaron Judge, no chance to sign that player. How can this be a system that works for the powers that be?
I'm not defending the system, but I would tell you what baseball people will say is that every team does have equal opportunity. It's just a matter of what your owner prefers. And if your owner is willing to splash cash around and throw it into the payroll, there's nothing stopping your ownership group from doing that. There's no limits. There's no rules. It's all just personal preference. And nowadays with media contracts and things of that nature, most owners do pretty well and can splash some cash on payroll. It just so happens a lot of times teams like the Royals and the Pirates and the ones you laid out tend to invest their money outside the payroll in other ways. They invest more heavy in the Latin Americas and those things to develop talent. But if John Sherman wanted to splash cash, nothing's stopping him. He bought the Royals for $1 billion. There's $1 billion available. If he wants to give Aaron Judge $356, he could have. Nothing is technically stopping him. That's what baseball people would tell you.
I don't disagree with you in theory or in principle, but you and I have also followed baseball free agency enough to know that those markets never sign him. It's not just a Kansas City thing. It's not like we think he was going to Tampa Bay. It's not like we thought he was going to Pittsburgh in this situation. There's about 12 to 14 baseball teams that have no chance of competing for the top free agents. Well, how is the power dispersed? How does the talent in the league disperse if you don't have a system that creates that? It's just very, very odd to me. So salute to Aaron Judge. I'm not here hating on Aaron in any capacity. You got offered all that money, go get to the bag. And you absolutely got to it. You took a chance. You gambled on yourself. And boy, did that gamble pay out. You made $140 million. You wanted to play for the Yankees so bad, you passed up on $40 or $50 million to continue to stay in New York. I hope that it works out for you. But right now, the baseball system, compared to the other American sports that we watch at the professional level, is just off. Everybody can sign everybody in the NBA. Everybody can sign everybody in the NFL. Baseball is just out doing its own thing, and I think that's one of the reasons why it lags behind the other professional sports. Coming up on the other side, we'll take a trip to Columbia, Lawrence, and Manhattan. We'll talk a little college football and college basketball here coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now. More specifically, let's head to Columbia, Missouri. Be joined by a good friend of mine with PowerMizzou.com, Gabe DeArmon, joins us on the show to take a closer look at the Tigers. Gabe, how you doing, my man?
Not bad. What's up, Carrington?
I'm doing all right, man. Let's start with a little transfer portal before we get to the bowl game situation regarding Missouri and not Kansas. What do you think Missouri is looking for going into the transfer portal?
A whole lot of offense. I mean, part of it will probably depend on what else they lose as far as the NFL draft and other guys that they maybe know are going in the portal but haven't yet. I think quarterback's a strong possibility. I think they probably need a running back. I think they need a tight end. I think they need a receiver. I think they need a couple offensive linemen and probably a couple defensive ends.
What do you think is more likely for them starting next year? Do you think it's a transfer quarterback or do you think it's Sam Horn?
I mean, are we just not talking about Brady Cook being a possibility?
I don't know if MU fans want Brady Cook back. I wouldn't mind Brady Cook back.
Yeah, but they aren't in charge.
so sometimes it feels like it.
Look, I mean, I would put all three of those as about equally likely. I think they're probably going to add a transfer. I don't know if it's going to be a transfer that you look at and go, well, he's the favorite to win the job, or if it's a transfer that you go, well, they just need another guy to compete with Horn and Cook. But nothing that anybody has seen out of Sam Horn this year can have them convinced that, hey, this guy's our starting quarterback next year. I mean, it's possible, but, like, the only reason you would think that is blind hope.
Right now we're talking to Gabe DeArmon of PowerMizzou.com, getting the info on the Missouri Tigers. Yesterday, you got a chance to catch up with Missouri's athletic director, Desiree Reed-Francois. What has been your impression on the entire Missouri is ducking Kansas in a bowl game conversation?
Yeah, my impression is that Missouri did not have the Liberty Bowl high on its list. Mostly because Missouri's main priority is they want to play a game that's before Christmas. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz and Desiree Reed-Francois both just flat out said it to me. They said, look, if we're not in the New Year's Six Bowl, like, I don't know, the rest of these bowls are all kind of the same. Let's get it done before Christmas so the kids can go home and be with their families. You know, Tampa is 80 degrees right now. Memphis is something less than that. Somewhere in that list of thoughts was, you know, it'd be fine if we maybe didn't play KU this year. Sure, somewhere on that list that might have been the case. I don't think Missouri ever told anybody we're not going to play Kansas. Missouri didn't even have the power to say we're not going to go to the Liberty Bowl. So I think they had other bowls ranked higher. One of the byproducts of that is that they were not going to play KU. And I don't think that probably hurt anybody's feelings at Missouri. I think Missouri's fine with not playing KU. But I do not think that was the main motivation of the whole thing.
What I think happened, this is from just reading your story and kind of putting the tea leaves together. I think that Kansas was very open to playing Missouri. I think that Kansas wanted to play Missouri, and I don't think Missouri had any of that same energy. And I think that Missouri just created a checklist that would have been impossible for Kansas to fill. If you wanted to play in a bowl game before Christmas, then you weren't playing Kansas. If you wanted to play in a nice destination, you just weren't going to play Kansas. We can debate on whether or not people think that's ducking Kansas or not, but that's my read on the situation.
Well, yeah, and those things were true before, you know, it even looked maybe possible that Missouri – I mean, I've been saying for a month, Missouri's main thing, if they're going to play in one of these bowl games that everybody's going to forget about in 3 weeks, is be done with it before December 25th. I mean, this is not new. That was the case last year. So, yeah, one of the byproducts is they're not playing Kansas. I do not think it was the – I don't think anybody from Missouri ever said we will not play Kansas in a bowl game.
Talking to Gabe DeArmon here for a couple more minutes of PowerMizzou.com. I've been really excited about this Missouri team. How fun is it after what you've seen for really the last 7 years or so to watch a team that can score?
Yeah, I mean, that's – even when Konzo's teams were good, they weren't a lot of fun to watch, especially offensively. So it is a more exciting brand of basketball. You know, I don't think we know yet how good they are. Saturday's going to give us a little bit more insight into that, I think, for sure. I mean, they've got their next five games are not just Kansas, but then they're UCF in Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Arkansas. So if you don't know how good Missouri is now, you're going to know how good they are a couple days into 2023 because it's a big slate coming up.
No, it certainly is a big slate. And we'll get you out of here with this, Gabe. Appreciate your time. This is my worry for Saturday against Kansas. I think Missouri can score with any team in the country. I think they've proven that so far that they're going to be able to put up points. They're going to get up and down. They're going to force turnovers. They're going to score. I don't know if this team can guard Kansas enough that I don't know if you can beat Kansas 91-86, which I think is what they're going to try to do on Saturday.
Well, I think that's how they have to beat pretty much everybody. We haven't seen them beat anybody, you know, 70-64. So I haven't watched Kansas enough to know the specific style of play. I mean, I know Bill's teams always are able to get up and down the floor if they want to, but they also tend to be able to play a half-court game. I haven't really seen Missouri yet be able to play a half-court game, so it'll be interesting if that becomes the case. I think Missouri's recipe is speed it up, get them going up and down, get this crowd into it, get the officials influenced by the crowd, and maybe it gets a little bit of fun here, right? And you are talking about a 95-90 game.
That is Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou joining us on the show today. Appreciate you, Gabe.
All right, have a good one. See that.
Absolutely. That is Gabe DeArmond of Power Mizzou joining us on the show. Let's head to the other side of state line, be joined by our very own Nick Schwert of the Waving the Wheat podcast. Nick, how are you doing, my man?
I'm so good, Carrington. I'm just appreciative to be on with you this afternoon.
You know what? I like that energy and I like that enthusiasm that you have for coming on this radio show, but it's really an honor to have the host of the Waving the Wheat podcast. You just heard what Gabe said, at least was the Missouri stance on playing Kansas in a bowl game. What's your read of it? What do you make of Missouri's stance when it came to not playing Kansas in a bowl game?
Okay, so I heard the tail end of it, and I was hoping that you would – can you give me the clip? I heard the idea of being done before December 25th, but I didn't hear the reasoning why Missouri wanted that.
Missouri sees it as all of the bowl games that aren't the premier bowl games are basically the same. So if they're going to play in one of these know-nothing games that no one cares about, they might as well get it done before Christmas. That was the Missouri logic. That is what the AD told Gabe DeArmond yesterday for his website.
Okay, so I would argue that playing Kansas in a bowl game on December 28th would take care of that issue of nobody remembering the bowl game. You're talking about one of the oldest and most, you know, tradition-rich rivalries in the history of college athletics. That's from both sides, right? If you play each other in a bowl game and you guys haven't seen each other in a decade, that is going to be one of the best matchups in a non-premier bowl game. So I don't understand. My whole read the whole time, Carrington, has been that every reasoning that I'd heard, and this was more the speculatory phase a couple of weeks ago when the report came out that by Brett McMurphy that Missouri wasn't going to play Kansas. Every piece of justification that I saw coming out for why Mizzou wouldn't want to play Kansas, they just felt flimsy to me. And it wasn't as though I thought Mizzou was scared, because I know that was sort of a, you know, an online sort of thing from KU fans. Mizzou's ducking you. Mizzou's scared. I never really thought that. To me, it seemed more petty, because that would fall in line with this entire decade since the rivalry ended. It's a lot of pettiness from both sides. So I thought this was another instance of that. The stuff about not wanting to share bowl revenue or not wanting to, you know, play, not wanting to ruin this rivalry restarting in 2 years from now, not wanting to play a football and a basketball game on the same date. All of that stuff felt flimsy, and so does the idea that you want to be done before December 25th because nobody's going to remember it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
This is what I told Gabe, and I'll say the same thing to you, and you tell me if you would classify this as ducking, because I'm with you. Missouri and Kansas have been talking about this. Kansas has been on the firm side of no for a very long time. They now seem very open to playing Missouri. I think that Kansas communicated to the Liberty Bowl that they wanted to play Missouri, that would have been their preference to play Missouri. I don't think Missouri showed any of that same energy towards the Liberty Bowl. I don't think they showed any of that same energy towards playing Kansas. So we can debate on whether or not that's ducking them or not. I also think that Missouri just created this checklist that Kansas and playing them in the Liberty Bowl just would have never been able to check. I think they just created an unrealistic expectation and criteria that Kansas would have never have had the opportunity to meet. I want Missouri to play Kansas in this bowl game. I don't care about this Gasparilla Bowl or Wake Forest. I know it's cool for KU, your first time since 2008 and going to a bowl game. I could care less about this bowl game that Missouri is playing in. I would have really cared if they were playing Kansas.
It's the same thing with me. And that's why that was kind of my argument the whole time, is for anybody who was trying to argue that they shouldn't play in this bowl game. My whole thing I just kept falling back on was, this is a great rivalry. I don't care what the circumstances are. I want to see this game in as many different settings as I possibly can. And I know for myself, I think maybe internally with KU and for a lot of KU fans, for a long time there was this sort of firm line in the ground, we are not going to play Missouri under any circumstances. And then the hurricane relief game for the Sprint Center happened. And I think for a lot of people, and I'm sure Missouri fans were feeling this way the whole time, or more of them were, but for a lot of KU fans, I think that was the moment where you were like, okay, this is kind of fun. Let's do this again. And since then, I feel like the stance has sort of eased from Kansas's side, and I'm back in the mix of, I want to see this game as many times as possible. I know that it adds anxiety playing Mizzou because you don't want to lose that game. And if you do, wow, bragging rights for 2 years, but that's the whole point. Like, that's the whole point of having rivalries in sports, is it sucks when you lose and it's awesome when you win. So I don't really understand the reasonings. It's unfortunate, but yeah, KU's in a bowl game, so I guess I can't really be complaining.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Schwartz here of the Wave in the Wheat podcast for a couple of more minutes here. I know the buzz is there with Missouri. I'm looking at ticket prices, trying to figure out what I'm going to do for myself. And you're not getting into Mizzou Arena for less than $175. Like, this is the hottest ticket for Missouri basketball since Michael Porter's first game against Iowa State. I know the buzz is there for Missouri. Is it there for Kansas?
It is, but I think it's lessened by the fact that everybody's still in football mode in December for the first time in 12 years. So I think once the ball tips on Saturday, I feel like, or once Saturday hits, I think the anticipation is going to be there. But you got to realize from the Kansas perspective, like, I mean, even going back, I could have said the same thing 2 months ago. Normally when the calendar turns to November, everybody in Lawrence is on to basketball. But for the first time in 12 years, you had a football program worth talking about and worth caring about. So while the rest of the world was stuck in football mode, Kansas was one of the few fan bases that turned their attention to basketball. Now that you have the opportunity to keep talking about football and you've got a bowl game coming up in a few weeks, I still think there is a level of fan base that is stuck in football mode. But KU Mizzou is going to be interesting, way more interesting than I thought it would have been at the beginning of the year. Because you and I talked last year at this time before that game, and I think we all knew what we were headed towards when they faced an Allen Fieldhouse. I think we knew that was going to be a beatdown. This time around, it does feel like there's maybe a little bit more anxiety of, wait a minute, Mizzou's actually not terrible this year. This could be a fairly competitive game. So I don't feel it quite yet, but by the time Friday and Saturday hits, I know that will flip the script.
Last question here for Nick Schwartz, who is joining us on the show today for the Wave in the Wheat podcast. Just final question here. Has your college basketball team lost this year? Because mine hasn't. I just want to know, can you clarify that? Because I haven't seen Missouri lose this year. Have you seen Kansas lose?
I have seen Kansas lose this year. It was to Tennessee, who is one of the top 10 teams in the country. And no, congratulations. And it's what's most impressive about Missouri is not only are they unbeaten, but they have navigated an absolute gauntlet of a schedule. I mean, I don't know what your favorite win of the year was for the Tigers, but
Wichita State was my favorite win in Kansas. They went to the state of Kansas and left with a W.
When they took down Lindenwood back in November, that's the moment I knew, like, okay, this Mizzou team was for real, but I was still looking for validation. When they came back the next week and took down Mississippi Valley State, that was it. That was the moment I knew Kansas was going to have a tough game on their hands in Columbia.
Bye, Nick. I'm not going to let anybody come on here and devalue wins from the Missouri Tigers. The undefeated Missouri Tigers. Let's go to John Kurtz. Less of a hater than Nick Schwartz. John, has your college basketball team won all their games so far this season?
they have not, man.
They have
not.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. I can't believe we're talking to losers. I can't believe this.
You know, CDOT, if K-State were undefeated right now, I would think that would be a cigar-worthy accomplishment if I think like Eli Drinkwitz. So, you know, we'd be out here smoking cigars, rolling Lindenwood all day, because that's kind of the level of achievement he strives for.
Why are you doing this? All right. Can't you and I come together to just troll Kansas? We don't got to troll one another here, man. We don't got to do that. We brothers.
Okay. I'm sorry. Nick rattled me a little bit, man. I don't know. Up is down. Down is up. I don't know which way to go at this point.
Where would you rank Saturday in terms of K-State wins that you've seen?
It's up there. It's up there. It's a good discussion. In terms of, like, all-time K-State wins, I think 1998 Nebraska stands alone, significance for the program at that point. They were number one in the country. It was a game everyone had been looking forward to for years. They hadn't beaten Nebraska at home since 1959 at that point in time. So it was a huge deal. But after that, I mean, I think 2003, that was, people were talking about Oklahoma being the best college football team of all time. To win that game, win it in Kansas City, and win it 35-7, I think you got to rank that number two. But then beyond that, I mean, you're certainly in the discussion as to where Saturday ranks, because I don't know, 97 Fiesta Bowl, they finished 11-1. They beat Donovan McNabb and beat him soundly in the Fiesta Bowl. That was a huge win for the program. Bowls meant a little bit more back then too. But I think it has an argument for being number three, just simply doing a lot of things. One, the obvious, I mean, you're winning a conference championship. That's only happened three times in my lifetime at K-State. But beyond that, kind of the significance of having a coach breakthrough and do that that's not Bill Snyder, right? I mean, I think it's putting a lot of the narrative to bed that nobody can win there except for one coach, and that you're just a one coach sort of a school. That now has been put to rest, and Chris Kleiman looks like he's saddled up to potentially be another sort of Bill Snyder guy that can stick around for a while and do it kind of the K-State way, quote unquote, as much as I hate that moniker sometimes. I think when you throw that in, plus the just how the game went, right, and it was an unbeaten TCU team and just such a thrilling finish. As far as games I've attended, I was not at the 2003 Big 12 championship game, so I think I would go number one in terms of games that I've actually attended, because 98 Nebraska, I was just so young. I was there, but I don't really remember much.
Right now we're talking to John Kurtz, who covers the Kansas State Wildcats. I saw a report that Deuce Vaughn confirmed that he was going to play in the Sugar Bowl. I don't want to make it seem like Deuce Vaughn and I are friends or anything, but he's been on the show enough to know. I never once questioned whether or not he was going to play in the Sugar Bowl or not. Like, that wasn't really a question. So I was kind of surprised that people were asking Deuce Vaughn if he was going to play. I understand the climate today of college football, but I just wasn't necessarily worried about that with him. Do you think he's coming back next year? Because I think with name, image, and likeness, I could see a scenario in which Deuce Vaughn comes back to K-State next season.
I think there's definitely a chance. If, you know, I don't want to throw out too many shameless plugs here, but you should, if you're a K-State fan, you should be following the work Derek Young's doing at K-State Online, because we've got a lot of good info out there about that right now. And there is certainly much more than a non-zero chance of Deuce Vaughn returning. I think the situation you're looking at is three guys that you're really watching for K-State right now. It's Deuce, it's Felix Anidike Uzama, and it's Cooper Beebe, who's an All-American on the offensive line. And I think right now, the way it's trending, I'd put the Vegas over-under at 1.5 returning to K-State. I think there's a really good chance you're going to get one, and I think there's a decent chance you would get two. You know, I heard through the grapevine about a couple of scouts that were at the Big 12 championship game talking about they think Felix should return to school. Now, that I think would be the least likely. I would put him at number three in terms of least likely to return. But I have heard that some scouts have been saying that. Now, if he's going to be guaranteed to be a top 100 pick or a day two pick, I mean, it's hard to say that the guy should really come back to school, and I certainly wouldn't begrudge him for going, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion for any of them. And I mean, speaking of NIL, if you follow Deuce on social media, he just posted a picture within the last week of him riding around in a Porsche from one of the car dealerships that he has an NIL deal with. So things like that definitely help. Deuce is just a different kind of guy. I mean, he is the consummate professional, not worried about the things that you think of a star athlete being worried about, certainly at his age as well, son of a coach. So a family that really values education, doing things the right way. I mean, I think all that stuff really helps too. So I don't know. K-State fans have been looking at this as a true rebuild coming up next year. Now with the emergence of Will Howard and some of these developments, and I think K-State standing a much better chance of getting an impact receiver or two in the portal because of what they did with the offense at the end of last year with Will Howard, I think next year could be another really, really good year for this football team, depending on how some gaps get filled.
If I had to set preseason top 15 for Kansas State, would you say better or worse?
Well, I'm going to trend worse on that in terms of like what will actually happen. I mean, should they be? Maybe. I'm going to have to see. You know, there's just so much. You know, the deadline for entry to the draft is January 16th, I believe. So we've got to wait on that. I think Felix in particular will take that down to the wire. And then the portal, I mean, who knows, man? I mean, who knows? K-State has not been burned by that, knock on wood, really yet. I think the five departures into the portal have pretty much all been expected at this point in time. So there's just too much to sort out. I'm just going to err on the side of, you know, I mean, look, K-State won the league this year and they were picked fifth preseason. Like, they were the one team in the top five that did not get a first place vote. We kind of know how this goes typically with the media in K-State. So unless there's a real true change of heart, I doubt that that is going to happen. But, you know, my hope is that the roster will be in good enough shape that we can kind of have that as an internal expectation, just as K-State fans this past year had an internal expectation of competing for the league title.
I know how you K-State fans think, and this is our final question. We know what's going to happen, right? Like, Bryce Young is going to opt out of the Sugar Bowl. Will Anderson is going to opt out of the Sugar Bowl. Most of the guys who are going to be drafted high, K-State's going to win the game. They're not going to get nearly enough credit. Like, you are ready for that, correct?
Well, I mean, it seems too perfect, right? I mean, it's lining up just like it was last year with LSU. I mean, probably not to that degree. I would imagine Alabama's going to have a little bit more of a roster than what LSU had last year. But, yeah, I mean, it seems like we're headed there. I think at this point, K-State fans will, I mean, certainly will join in on some of that and tell people that they should give us a lot of adulation and praise for winning the game. But at this point, I'm just like, who cares? I mean, it's been a lot of fun to halfway troll LSU fans for what went down last year. I would love to just add Alabama to that list. At the end of the day, it'll just be fun because I think the way I view it, it's like bowl games these days, if you're not in the playoff, like what does it really truly mean? I mean, with opt-outs and the portal and so many people leaving and coaches, you know, I heard a quote from an administrator the other day that was talking about how coaches at this point are just treating like the last 7 to 10 days of bowl prep as being like actual bowl prep. And the rest of the time they're just recruiting and trying to work the portal and not focusing nearly as much on bowl prep. So they've always been exhibition games, but they are so much more on the exhibition side of things right now. So to me, it's just like maximize the fun out of it. If you can go to New Orleans, really fun place, the Sugar Bowl that you've never been to, play Alabama, team that you've never played, top of the heap, and beat whatever they're going to roll out there in a crimson uniform. Yeah, man, beat them, take to Twitter, and ham it up. It's going to be great.
I mean, outside of the Rose Bowl, I think the Sugar Bowl is probably the most fun bowl game to go to. I've never been to the Rose Bowl, never been to Pasadena, but I've been to New Orleans. And if you're going to go to a bowl game, the one in New Orleans at the Superdome seems like the one to go to. That is our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show today. John, I appreciate you.
All right, take care, C-Dot.
Absolutely. That's our guy, John Kurtz, joining us on the show. Coming up, we'll react to what we just heard, our little college sports, college athletics whip around here. It has been a long time since Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas State all went to a bowl game in the same year. How long? Well, we'll tell you. If you come back, it's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. The voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis, joins the show every Monday starting at 4 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From downtown Kansas City, it's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride. There's also a news story I want to share with you guys, and the level of disappointment that I have for this story is as disappointed as I've been for any story that we've discussed on this show. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But I did not know this. Our research team, which is me and Rob, looked this up. And this is the first season since 2003 in which Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas State have all made bowl games. So when I first asked Rob, I was like, hey, when did this happen? I was like, I guess it would have happened in 07 and 08. And he said, no, those were the Ron P years. Now, I have forgotten about Ron Prince. I imagine many people in Manhattan had not forgotten about Ron Prince, but I kind of blocked that time out of my mind. So he told me, yeah, man, it was 2003. And I said, you know, hook it up. You know, tell me what the song was, the movie. You know how we do on the show. You know the vibes. Well, he did that. Here was the top song the last time that these three teams all went to a bowl game.
So hold me when I'm here, grab me when I'm wrong.
This song still slaps. Put this on the radio today. People in their car are jamming.
There was no In the Club?
No, there was no In the Club. There was Three Doors Down. There's When I'm Gone. Fire. In the Club, also a good song. This song was number one.
There was no I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson during this time frame?
I think Miss Jackson with you earlier or later, because When I'm Gone, number one.
There was no Beyonce during this time?
Crazy in Love, number three.
You're telling me that Three Doors Down was burning up the radio charts back in 2003.
Three Doors Down was the band in 03. That's what I'm telling you. You know what's happening? People were driving down to see the Tangerine Bowl. They were headed to the Independence Bowl to see Missouri, which was a Big 12 team at the time. They were headed to Arizona to see the Fiesta Bowl, and they were jamming to Three Doors Down.
Okay, my bad. I didn't know, man. Shout out to Three Doors Down. They have the top song the last time that Missouri, Kansas, and K-State all went to a bowl game. Now, Rob, I don't know what the top TV show is, but based on whenever we do this, it is always American Idol. I am willing to guarantee that the top television show in 2003 was American Idol. I have not heard this. That is just my guesstimation. I mean, every time it's American Idol. American Idol had one of the strongest holds on America I've ever seen. The only thing that America loves more than American Idol is football. There's no show we have loved like we loved early American Idol. Those first four or five seasons of American Idol had a hold on us that I've never seen before. There's no show on television as popular as American Idol used to be. Not a single one. Not even Yellowstone. And Yellowstone is doing football numbers right now on television. Yellowstone was not as popular as early American Idol.
Yeah, that's because Yellowstone's like on streaming and there's like different ways to watch it. Fox, Tuesdays, 7 o'clock. Everyone knew. Here comes Idol. Simon's going to be upset. He's going to yell at some people. Paula Abdul's going to be nice. And Randy Jackson's going to say, that's a no from me, dog. You had to watch it. You had to be part of it. You had to be a part of the experience.
It is kind of crazy to me that Paula Abdul used to judge if people could sing or not. You know, Paula Abdul was a judge of a singing contest.
I mean, she definitely had a hit single, so that makes her.
That don't mean you can sing.
Capable.
You and I both love Britney Spears. Couldn't hold a note in a briefcase. Singing nowhere to be found with Britney Spears. So just because you have a hit song, that doesn't mean you can sing. Not at all. Not even a little bit. All right, what was the top movie?
What happens if I fail?
Then Zion will fall.
They need you.
I need you.
What if the prophecy is true? What if tomorrow the war could be over? Isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't that worth dying for?
The Matrix Reloaded was the number one movie the last time Missouri, Kansas, and K-State all went to a bowl game. Is The Matrix Reloaded the most forgotten sequel of a popular franchise? Like, you remember Rush Hour 2, right? Kung Fu Kenny. Remember when he goes to play craps? He's like, this one's for Mandela. You even remember Hangover 2.
I don't think anyone remembers Rush Hour 2 enough for quotes, but we remember it.
Well, hold on now. Rush Hour 2 is better than the first one. We're not gonna disrespect Rush Hour 2 on this show.
It's a good sequel, but better than the original? Come on now.
Ian, we're not going to disrespect Rush Hour 2 on this show. Not on this show. If you want to disrespect the third one, sure. The third one never happened.
It's like that T. Higgins thing where it's good, but you treat it like it's elite.
No, Rush Hour 2 is a comedy classic. I will not let you disrespect Rush Hour 2 on this show. That's not even what I was trying to get at here. I'm trying to get at The Matrix Reloaded is not a movie that anyone remembers. I remember the first one. I don't remember the second one, though. Do you remember the second one? What happens in the second one?
I have no knowledge of the second one.
I have no clue what happens in the second Matrix.
I was pulling the trailer today, and I was looking at the video, and I'm like, I don't even remember any of this happening in the movie. I mean, Lawrence Fishburne was definitely in it. I mean, he heard his voice, but I have no recollection of The Matrix Reloaded. I know it was better than the third one because the third one was terrible.
No, the third one was not good. The third one was not good. Coming up in a little bit, Pete Sweeney will join us in studio. Rob, did you see this headline on TMZ.com? Joey Chestnut loses shrimp cocktail eating competition first time in 8 years. I had to save this. And then the story says, believe it or not, the 39-year-old actually ended up in fourth place at the world-famous St. Elmo shrimp cocktail eating contest in Indianapolis, losing to a guy. Listen to this. This man ate 16 pounds and 6 ounces of shrimp cocktail in 8 minutes. Joey Chestnut only ate 10 pounds of shrimp in 8 minutes. Is the run over for Joey Chestnut? Is it over? Because I didn't think you could beat Joey Chestnut in any eating competition. If you were going to put food in front of him and you were going to have any other person and they had the same food, the same time frame, I would bet Joey Chestnut against anybody in this situation. You're telling me he ain't even medal? He didn't get the gold, silver, or the bronze. He came in fourth place in the shrimp cocktail. Why do people like shrimp cocktail?
Whoa, 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 whoa. You don't like shrimp cocktail? What's wrong with shrimp cocktail? What is happening in this segment? Have there's love for Rush Hour 2. There's dislike for shrimp cocktail.
Again,
up is
not,
down. Down is up. What's happening?
We're not going to let you disrespect Rush Hour 2 in my presence. If you want to continue to disrespect Rush Hour 2, you can leave. All right? I'll do the board. I don't know how to do the board, but I'll figure it out. It can't be that difficult. That's number one. Number two, have you ever had shrimp when it was hot? You've had it hot, right?
I've had hot. Yes, I've had.
You've had it
cooked
grilled.
Shrimp. I've had grilled shrimp. Yes.
Why in the hell would I want to eat it cold then? It's not better cold than it is when it's hot. Can we agree with that?
I prefer it hot.
I've had shrimp on a skewer. You've had shrimp that's been grilled. You have it that's been boiled. You've had fried shrimp. You've had shrimp when it's heated up. Why would I want to eat just a cold, unseasoned version of shrimp? It's not good.
It's a great appetizer. Great appetizer. Dip it in the cocktail sauce. Have yourself a nice little little app, little drink. I don't know why you're hating on it. Is it the best way to serve shrimp? No.
It might be the worst way to serve it.
No. Boiled shrimp is worse. Boiled shrimp is worse.
It might be the worst way to serve.
Peel and eat shrimp is worse. Peel and eat is like a lot of work for a little bit of reward. No, that's worse.
I don't mind peeling each shrimp. Now, are you going to give me a lot of them? That's also part of it, too. Don't give me six of them bad boys. Give me a pound. Give me a pound and a half.
This is one of those deals where the cocktail sauce is a little spicy. You know how you're adverse to the spice.
No, I don't mind it. I've had shrimp. It's like the ninth best way of eating shrimp. Why would I want to eat ninth place? You know what I mean? Why would I want to eat the Texas Tech of shrimp? Give me the K-State. Give me the TCU. I got to eat the Texas Tech version of shrimp. I don't want that. I want the better version. I don't want the cold shrimp. No, keep the cold shrimp away from me. Shrimp cocktail, very overrated. Very, very overrated appetizer. Coming up, a man who I know feels the exact same way about Rush Hour 2 and the exact same way about shrimp cocktail. Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride will join us to spread holiday and Christmas cheer. That's all coming up. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.